listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
At school, I wrote notes, took quotes from Shakespeare and other type of rhymes to show you that I care. For things like together forever to you, my only one. It was special. I can't say there was another one. You would say someone's knocking on my window. Knock, knock. Someone's ringing my bell. Ding dong. It's about 2 in the morning. AOG, what the hell's going on? It's just another case of that old PTA. But nevertheless, it goes to show my potential. Even though our love was three-dimensional. One, me. Two, you. Three, your pops. Now what am I to do? Had to transform to an educated lad. Going around, doing chores for your dad. Playing the duck, wearing sweaters and shoes. Chilling with pop, just listening to the blues. Talking to your mom about the love for a daughter. Suggesting to me that I just oughta watch myself. Inch by inch, watch myself and use some sense. So I did. Hey, it didn't do a damn thing. But a case of complaint. So now I'm saying it's just another case of that OPTA. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Wednesday. A Walking Dead Wednesday.
Yep, end of the week.
Last Walking Dead Wednesday of the year.
It is. We not come back till February.
Brown, we are ready to do podcasting, ready to recap one of our favorite shows on TV. But before that, we have to do all the intro stuff. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search The Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes time out to leave us those 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is blue ball
and bullet ball extreme. Now you guys know exactly what that means. This podcast is double sponsored. Actually, it's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, maker of the YouTube comedy web series Book Crushers. This week we went in on River World and Logan's Run. Please be sure to comment, as that's especially useful to the algorithm. I will put the link for the YouTube in the show notes so you guys can go click on it, leave a comment, follow them, all that kind of great stuff that you do to support people. We are also brought to you by Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Enjoy smoother, clearer skin with Bevel. And I know I do. Okay, it helps me feel better, smoother, smell better. Gives you a little routine and not drying out my skin every day. For a limited time, you can get 20% off your next shipment with Bevel. All you got to do is go to getbevel.com/TBGWT. The promo will automatically be applied at checkout. That's getbevel.com/TBGWT. All right, let's get into our Walking Dead recap. That's right. End of the halfway mark for the season. This episode was called Evolution. And it got over 5 million, 5.09, which is higher than last week, but still rather low. Karen?
Yes.
Before we get into the breakdown, what did you think about this episode in general?
I loved it. It was really, really, really good. I had a ball watching.
All right. I liked it a lot. I mostly was just kind of ready for, you know, the big reveal of what the fuck is up with those whispering zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of get to see some other surprises that I didn't think we'd get this early in the show, because we've you know, I've been reading the comic and stuff. And they kind of gave us a lot of stuff quick. I mean, look, Angela Kane does not play. Like, she just is like,
play with you hoes.
She's just like, look, we don't need to stretch this out to 18 episodes. Let's just get this shit over with now.
Yeah, we might outpace the comic. We don't know. We just gonna go for it.
So we got some cool stuff and, you know, and a very, unexpected death too for me. So.
Right.
All right. Let's get into the recap. I like to break it down by location. Okay. Well, this one has some weird, you had Hilltop.
Yeah.
Then you had Alexandria. And then we had a place I like to call Saving Private Eugene. Okay. We had to go find Eugene and what was going on with him,
right,
and bring him back to civilization. So I'll do that one last. I think I'll start with Alexandria because it has the least to do with the other ones, and then we'll go Hilltop, Saving Private Eugene. All right.
Okay.
In Alexandria, Gabe is leading Negan on a some type of meditational exercise. It's like whatever, just concentrate on the sound of one hand clapping or whatever.
That thing here is using meditation. It's like, I forgot what it's called, but it like rings really loud. It's actually neat. It's very calming and relaxing.
That's what I said. So he was using that, and Negan was not feeling it, and he was basically like, look man, this ain't working, this meditation stuff don't never work. And Gabe is like, well, why the fuck do you want me to steep, why do I even keep coming down here? And he starts teasing Gabe about dating Rosita, and he's like, well, the places my mind goes when it clears, you don't want to bring your collar up in there or something like that. And he's like, well, you know, maybe you do now that you dating Rosita, you know, she's fine or whatever. And it's interesting because it seems like Negan is still good at pumping people for information, even inside that cell.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Gabe must go down there to do these weekly pastoral rehabilitation exercises, and Negan's like pumping him for information, and now he knows that dude is dating Rosita. And Gabe is all like, I don't understand why you do this. You clearly won't help. I can see you try. And then Negan's basically like, man, I'm never getting out of prison. Like, this is a life sentence. What's the fucking point? Like, learn how to meditate. Like, it doesn't matter. And he thanks Gabe for helping him because he said he was touch and go for a while, which I think is when he wanted Maggie to kill him.
Right.
But it's been 5 years since then, so he's gotten his shit back together, I guess. But he's like, you know, back then I'm glad you came and stuff, but now all you're really doing is helping me know a week went by. Every time you show up, I know it's been another week.
Ah.
And he says, and he's gotten everything he needs. He's got a baseball glove and a tennis ball he throws around inside the cell. He which is interesting because that, to me, that means they don't even let him out of his cell to like exercise.
Mm-mm.
And he says that cell window is basically his TV.
And I believe that because people probably don't even pay attention to, you know, like, don't even care about him being down there. Sometimes it's like things are just there and you just act, they become normal. So him being down is normal. So they're just talking in front of that, not really, you know, really not caring or realizing that he's down there sometimes.
And it's like the world's biggest reality show, I guess, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been down there just collecting all the tea from everybody when they're not paying attention. And I guess this also does confirm what Miss Smart was speculating, which is that Negan's in there hearing everything. So he heard when Michonne and Maggie were arguing about killing him and shit. So maybe that was all part of the plan too. Who knows? But at any rate, they had this conversation, and you know, Gabe gets kind of fed up because he's like, you know, stay out of my business, basically. Because Gabe's like, every life needs a purpose, and you know, you need to start thinking about what yours is, even if it's in the cell. And Gabe is like, well, down in the cell, I get to hear everything. People think I'm not listening. And you know, sometimes you'd be surprised when I heard Rosita out there chatting up a storm about the other day. And Gabe's like, I don't need to know what she thinks about me. And he said, who said she was talking about you? So I feel like this is the second or third time that they're kind of playing up this angle of there may be a love triangle thing between Eugene, Rosita, and Gabe. What do you think? You think she's just with Gabe and that's the end?
I do think that at one period of time, I feel like this. I think that she would give Eugene a chance if he didn't chicken out. because she was like, hey, like, who are you talking about? Remember they was riding together, yeah, going out, and he runs. She was like, well, then don't waste my time. Like, if you're not gonna come out and tell me, I'm not gonna guess, I'm not gonna beg, I'm not gonna plead. Like, you're gonna have to be man enough to come out and say it's me.
Yeah, and I guess to me that signifies that there is a chance and that it's not cut and dry and that there might be a love triangle. Yeah. You know, like, my man Eugene been pushing up on Rosita to be there for you. Gabe ain't around, hoping he can walk up during an argument and skate away with her. Better watch your back, Eugene. Gabe, he gonna hobble his way with your woman, hobble right on the way with her.
You know he gonna use that signs, you know what I'm talking about, like mm-hmm. out signs him.
That's a 10-4 Roger on the clitoral signs, over and out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some regular tongue ring action going downstairs, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I do think that there's some I think that they are hinting that she's not as committed to Gabe as maybe people would just assume because right. of the kiss and shit. Mm-hmm. I think Rosita's still kind of playing the field and doesn't really, you know, like, it's whatever to her. And which is sad because Gabe really seemed like his nose was wide open.
He really into her.
So it's gonna be sad when he finds out that she ain't exactly on the up and up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Negan's teasing him about this, like, you know, is that your chick? I don't know, you know. Why she on this side?
Is that your chick?
He praising him because that thing. So yeah, that's the feeling I got. And
I'm her pastor.
That's what Gabe.
Really? What does that mean?
Jesus, take the wheel.
What does that mean? You're her pastor.
That's. I'm her pastor.
What does that mean?
Like, I'm her pastor. That's who I am.
And then he left. And then when he went outside, a woman came up to Gabe and he saw two people from Hilltop with Hilltop armor and spears and was like, what they doing here? And this woman was like, yeah, they came all the way from Hilltop to inform us that Rosita has been injured. And Gabe, of course, was, you know, pressed about this because that's his woman. And Negan, later is, matter of fact, I have this clip. Let me see if I can play it for you guys. So Gabe has to go back to Negan's cell to clean up, Negan's cell for him. And Negan starts basically teasing him about the shit. Unbeknownst to him, I guess he have his ear to the window. He wasn't ear hustling enough to see, to hear Gabe get the lowdown about Rosita
actually
missing.
In my ass goes right up your nose.
So yeah, he was making a joke about how Gabe has to clean his cell of piss and shit every week, mm-hmm. and he has to smell his piss and shit on the way, like while he's cleaning it. And also, Negan has been handcuffed to the cell to make sure that he can't, like, you know, jump Gabe or anything. Mm-hmm. And there's a big black dude that's like a bouncer who's watching over the whole transaction.
That's what you call a husband.
Nope, that was a different black dude.
Oh, different. Oh, they got another black dude.
I never forget that nigga's face.
I never know exactly which eye I'm supposed to look at. It's a little bit distracting.
Just shut up.
So he's talking about Gabe's eye. He's been, you know, he's been teasing him all day. And it seems like this is just what Negan does to everybody. But, you know, he doesn't know that Gabe's at his limit.
For once in your life, shut your damn mouth. I keep scratching at you. Keep trying to figure out what's underneath it all, because I think if I dig deep enough, I'll find a person, someone I can help. But I never do. All I find is more.
What happened? Rosita's at Hilltop.
Now this bothers me. Why y'all keep telling him y'all business?
Because they assume he's not getting out.
I just don't like it.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I guess 6-7 years softens the heart, but it's like, damn, nigga, like, he clearly is using this to pick on you. It would be different if they showed them having some friendly conversations, but they've only showed animosity between Negan and Gabe. So to me, I'm like, if a nigga was using all this information to roast me, why would I continue to give them to nigga daily updates on my life? Cause he ain't gonna do nothing but turn around and roast you. Like, you might act okay about it today, but tomorrow he gonna be like, so your girl dead yet or whatever, you know, like, he's an asshole. I don't understand this.
But he does care because he knows that Gabe snapping is almost out of character for him.
Does he care? Does he?
No, true. He might not.
I sent her out and she got hurt. The messenger doesn't know what happened or how bad it is. And I can't go to help her because I have to be here with you. Because somebody has to stay behind to be responsible for you.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't know.
You don't. It's bad enough I've got to clean up your shit. I shouldn't have to listen to it.
So, yeah, that's how that scene ended. Then Gabe slams the door shut, the cage. The guard goes and uncuffs Negan. And they leave. Mm-hmm. Negan just sits in the cell throwing the tennis ball against the cell and over and over. And then one time it hits the gate and the gate like rattles or something. Mm-hmm. And he realizes that the cell door is kind of loose.
Right, because it hits it, then it rolls on the outside. He was like, damn, nah, I ain't got no ball.
Right. But when he walks towards the cell door, just kind of jiggles, and he's like, wait a minute, and pushes the door, and the door is actually unlocked.
Right, because Gabe, in his furious, getting mad, just fucking slammed the door and actually didn't lock it.
Yeah, and honestly, this kind of, like, this does happen in the comics in a way, it but does. Not exactly like this. Mm-mm. And I was wondering if they were going to get to this at some point, maybe in the second half of the season or something. And I mean, damn, they did this early.
That was probably the point of the time jump. Speed shit up.
Also, I don't want Negan in a cage for the whole fucking, like, battle with the damn, with the Whisperers and shit. I'm actually optimistic that maybe they'll get the whole Whisperer storyline done by the end of the season.
I think they will.
You know, I hope so. We'll see, but I'm, you know, feeling more optimistic about it now because of the way that they're just kind of knocking shit down. Like, we're not gonna leave you in suspense for six episodes. Let's just go.
It's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
I mean, if you really think about it, I know in the previews for the season people saw it, but if you just were just watching the show, they didn't introduce the idea of the Whisperer zombies until, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Right.
And then they're, by the end of this episode, we know what they are. Like, that's amazing.
They didn't drag it.
Alright, so, once Negan sees the cell doors open, he, gets up and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, I mean, you know, daddy's home.
Ain't like it's no security.
Right. Guess who's back? Back again.
Come on.
And we'll see, man, because I think we saw Negan at his lowest when he wanted Maggie to kill him, but it's been 5-6 years. What's on his mind? Is he looking for revenge or is he a new Negan?
Right.
You know, he's probably gonna try to find Lucille.
Oh, that's probably the goal.
That's his baby. All right, so Hilltop. Last time we left, the ASL gangs with Michonne and Sadiq, and they were trying to get into Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where we started. Man on horseback sped through Hilltop telling everybody, like, the riders are coming, riders are coming. And the riders he's talking about is Michonne, Sadiq, and the ASL crew, who are just moseying along. Like, I don't know why he was in such a rush, but...
And I think because, like you said, the communities aren't communicating, so a lot of people probably didn't know who the fuck they were.
And they didn't know they were coming.
Correct.
So they get to the gate. We gotta do our song and dance. Diane is minding the fence at the top of the gate, and she sees Michonne and them, is like, we got six people. Oh, wait a minute, it's Michonne and them, hold on. And then Magna, who we know is, you know, old Stabby McStabbum, she's like, get ready, y'all, we're gonna have to fight. And you know, Luke and all of them were impressed by Hilltop, but not getting their hopes up because they was like, they might not even let us stay. Neither did Alexandria, you know. And so Magna's like, you know, get the knives out, we're gonna have to fight, or we might have to do something. And everybody's like, chill, Magna, chill.
Right, like, you know they got the advantage, right?
Right. I feel like Magna is the chick that you can't take to no club or nothing like that.
Y'all be gonna be fighting for the night over.
Yeah, like, she can't help herself. She like, you know what, I think I'm gonna try to fight. I think I'm gonna fight some people.
I know she... Yes.
Magna, chill out. Put your knives back down. We just gonna talk to him. Yeah, she's legit straight up ready at all times.
Come on.
I guess if you stay ready, you never have to get ready.
Never have to get ready.
And Magna's 100% believer.
Come on. She came in there, I hit that bitch with a bottle.
I hit that bitch with a bottle.
Come on. I don't drink. I don't argue. I just hit that bitch with a bottle.
Just hit that bitch with a what? But yeah, so Magna is like, let's get ready to fight. And everybody like, chill out. And then Michonne lets Diane know, like, look, we here, we know Rosita's here injured, we talk to your messages on the road. Also, these people want to know if y'all hiring, because they need jobs and somewhere to stay. And
got some unemployed here.
And Diane looked down at Tara, who we know is in charge until Jesus gets back. Mm-hmm. And she looks at Tara, and Tara gives her the full like 53% head nod, like, I don't know. And then Michonne realizes this is not, they're not gonna let her in, so she takes off her sword, and then everybody has to put their weapons down, and then they open up the gate and let them in. Tara greets Michonne, and Tara just has the stankest attitude. Like, I don't know what happened between the communities. I don't know what choices were made.
Get that next season. I mean, the next half.
I think so too. But man, whatever it was, they are mad at each other, and Tara just has the worst attitude. Like, Michonne, you know, that kind of attitude. And Michonne's like, where's Jesus? You don't even go here. You're not even in charge. Where's Jesus? And she's like, well, he went out to look for Eugene. Michonne like, Eugene missing too? And she's like, right? Eugene was missing? That's who went with Rosita. It's like, damn. It's like, well, how'd y'all know Eugene was out there? Well, Aaron told us. The fuck? What is Aaron doing here? Well, you know, Aaron was over here talking to Jesus. He was doing what? Like, it was just a big ass, like, your mama finding out how much trouble you got into. Like, he did what? What kind of homework did he skip?
He didn't turn in something. What?
I didn't even know you was in that class.
Right?
So then, Enid and Sadiq discuss, Rosita's health, because Enid is like the doctor now. And Michonne finds out that Aaron is with Jesus, and Daryl came down out of the mountains, and they out there searching for Eugene. And Tara makes a sarcastic joke, like, yeah, it's like the whole old gang's getting back together, Carol and Henry and all this shit. And Michonne's like, all right, well, which way they headed? Because I'm gonna follow them, we're gonna help them get Eugene. And she's like, everybody just kind of decides, if Daryl's on the case, there is no better tracker than Daryl. There is nobody faster than Daryl.
Right, like, they actually own their way back. Like, by the time you get out there, it'll be dark.
Right. So, they're like, you might as well just wait. They probably already on the way back. And then, Tara says they got their weapons back in the morning, and then she will talk to Jesus and decide if the ASL people can stay, and if they do stay, how they can work to fit in. Like,
earn their keep.
Yeah, you gotta earn you can't just like roll up in here and just stay. You gotta like have a skill or some shit. And that's if they can stay.
Right.
And they go to put up their stuff and get situated. Magna and them kind of talk amongst themselves, and they're like, Magna's like, it's a cult. Like, they got a leader named Jesus. This shit clearly some type of cult. I told y'all it wasn't no good. Cause Magna don't trust nobody. She has watched all the other 8 seasons of the show, and she was like, I heard you can't trust nobody in this motherfucker.
Mm-mm.
They also sort of hint at they need to find a moment to prove themselves so they can be deemed trustworthy so they can stay. Which is a totally different approach to when they fucking showed up at Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
like Alexandria, they was ready to like are we gonna have to stab Michonne in her sleep, you know? At least Magna was. Mm-hmm. But here they're like, maybe we can find something that ingratiates us to these people and they can let us stay. Maybe it's because Hilltop has better amenities. I mean, it does look like a lot more food and mm-hmm. people and shit like that. Michonne is pissed with Sadiq for keeping secrets. Sadiq has done nothing but apologize this entire last two episodes. It's just been, I'm sorry, Michonne. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I knew everything. I just didn't tell you.
Yeah, some people think they might be trying to ship Sadiq and Michonne. What do you think?
No.
No, you don't think they're trying to?
Well, they might be, but I don't feel the chemistry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I heard, but I saw people saying it though. So he basically was like, I feel bad, you know, and before they can get into, cause they keep hinting to like something happened, and before they get into details, they always get interrupted.
Right.
Hopefully they stop with this after maybe one or two more episodes.
They will. They'll just tell us what a mini flashback or one episode dedicated to what the fuck happened.
Yeah, cause I don't want to do this shit forever of just, mm-hmm. them awkwardly being like, it's like the time that, hey, Michonne, can I ask you a question?
Right.
We gotta go, you know? Like, what happened?
Be like, you remember when you, hey, we got an emergency that happened. Okay, we talk about it.
Right. Later. I will tell you what happened, but I have to use the bathroom real quick. Let's go to commercials. So they see Carol, they come over and talk to her. Carol asks Michonne, like, hey, Michonne, you know, who are your friends? Cause you know the ASL people are with
what
her.
About your friends? Mm-hmm. They was like, look, do we know them?
I don't know these niggas,
come on.
And Michonne's like, you know, they trying to live here, and the thing is Carol don't live there either, so I don't think she cares that much. I know she's leaving Henry there, but it's like, it's in good hands. Like, Hilltop clearly seems to be the one place that they decided is fine and doing fine and don't need no help,
right?
So Carol's like, yeah, that's your friends, and they all introduced themselves, and you know, I noticed that Yumiko is the one who does most of the talking, and she has since she like got her like head trauma straightened out. She has kind of been the de facto leader. I wonder if she's like the quote unquote leader of the crew.
I think she probably is.
No, she does seem to voice a lot of the stuff. At least that's what I noticed. So then Carol notices that Connie is hearing impaired and does the, you know, they use the ASL, and she signs her name like, I'm Carol. And then Connie tries to sign something back, and she's like, Carol's like, that's all I know.
I just know my name.
Donde está la biblioteca?
Where is the library? That's what you just asked.
Mm-hmm. Carol says, all right, Michonne, well, let's have a little talk. Michonne's all like, you know, how your kids doing? And Carol, how your kids doing and stuff? And how's life? How's Ezekiel? Blah, blah, blah. And in between all that, they start talking about the fair. Now, they brought the fair up last week. Aaron said to Jesus that Michonne kind of put the kibosh on Alexandria participating in this fair. I'm not 100% sure what this fair means or is. What do you think it is?
I think it's a way to bring the communities back together. I think the purpose of the fair, and who knows, this may have been something that Rick may have outlined, and everybody was just like, fuck it, this was Rick's idea, you know what I mean? Like, he might not have shared it, but he was like, I want to do something. And that might have been why he was gung-ho on the bridge, because he said basically the bridge keeps all the communities together. Or this might have been something that they decided to do and some shit popped off and it was like, fuck it, we're not doing no fair, and they're trying to redo it.
Yeah, so Michonne doesn't want to participate in it. I find this interesting because last time we saw Michonne before the time jump, she was writing the articles of like, let's all be communities with a working da da da, mm-hmm. and now she's like firmly in this isolationist moment of every community is to itself,
right?
So I don't know what the fuck happened, but something bad happened. So Carol's like, yeah, we should, you know, we've all lost something. We kept going. We always been a family. We should all stick together. Let's do the fair. And Michonne says, we are a family, but kingdom is kingdom. Hilltop is here and Alexandria is there. And between there's a whole lot of broken world and we cannot pretend otherwise. We got to take care of our own. Carol says, that's a shame. And then they say goodbye. Diane asks Carol, when she sees Carol going back to kingdom, can she come? Because she feels like they don't need her at Hilltop anymore. So she's out. Because Carol says yes. Henry comes over to say goodbye. He gives Carol some nails and screws to take back to the kingdom. And she said, she thanks him and says, goodbye. And it's almost, it reminded me of like the first time you get dropped off at college.
Right. That's what it was. Yes. Like your parents are getting ready to go away and the reality hit that you ain't going back with them.
Yeah, like, you know, I think, and it's kind of interesting they put this kind of storyline in this episode, because it very much felt like this is going to college in this epoch, you know, being away from home.
Because that's the furthest he's ever been from them.
Yeah, like things change, but things don't change that much. It just kind of adjusts.
Right.
So she kind of gets close to like tearing up, and she's like, you know, getting sad and crying, and he sees it. And, you know, I feel like he's never really seen Carol like sad cry before, nothing like this. Mm-hmm. And
because she's always been the boss, she's like, nope, this is what we're gonna do, you know, always been quote unquote in control of situations.
And it kind of shakes him too,
right?
Because he's like, I'll be back for the fair, I'll make you proud,
right? Because I think the reality of he knew she cared. You know, because, you know, she cares, she loves him, but that right there made him realize, oh, like, this is more serious than I thought. Like, this actually brought her to tears.
Yeah, I think also just, you know, Carol, like, kills people and shit.
Come on.
Like, he saw her get her ring back and she ain't shed a single fucking tear.
Didn't think twice.
You know, so I think, and he's been in war and battle and shit when he was a kid. He's seen, like, some fucked up shit, and, you know, to him, I think he just didn't think about how serious this must have been to her.
Right, to leave him,
That makes it real for him too, you know, first time from under your parents' roof and out on your own. So she goes, you know, you already made me proud. And then Henry does some blacksmithing and Alden is there with his new haircut,
right?
Which it took 5 years off his face.
It did. He looked like he went down in age.
And it's interesting, well, I'll get into this in a second, but he's helping because he said he was going to be an apprentice, and Earl, of course, the drunken would-be murderer blacksmith, he's out, you know, out and about, you know, teaching, and, you know, they're all learning there, and Enid comes over and she's like, hey, how you doing, Henry? And he's like, good. She's like, yeah, everything going okay with your, you know, stuff or whatever? Now, we have seen Henry ask about Enid like 4 or 5 times since he got there.
Right.
Like, he's just like, it's like, hey, Henry, how you doing? What you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm great. Just want to do some blacksmith. Anybody seen Enid? Anybody? What she got on? What she look like? How she smell?
Enid's like this.
Did them titties come in yet? I'm just... I've been having tween fantasies about her. So he's like super pressed to see some Enid. She comes over, speaks to him, you know, and he's all like, oh, hey, you know, fancy meeting you here, to everybody, you know, you come here often. And so she's like, oh, can I talk to Alden? Can I talk to you for a second? And while she does that, Earl turns around and asks like, Henry, hey, you want to come over for dinner tonight with me and Tammy? And two things here. One, I forgot Earl don't got a son no more.
Mm-mm.
So maybe he's kind of, maybe these mentorships are kind of providing something in his life that he wouldn't have had, you know, maybe even with Henry and whatnot, maybe, you know, via Tammy. Now, I'm not saying it's a replacement. I've never lost a kid or anything, but just like the idea of having a young person that you mentor might fulfill some sort of need that you know, that this hole that's been left there.
Right.
The second part of it is, I think everybody from, I think Earl specifically knew something was up and tried to distract Henry.
Yes.
In this moment. And
Henry wasn't paying hardly paying no attention.
It didn't really work because in the background we see Enid and Alden playing tonsil hockey. And my man Henry played it off smooth as shit, because he gets this dinner invitation and he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna go to dinner with y'all because I was gonna see if Enid wanted to. And he turned around and seen that kiss, and then he said, yeah, sure, I'd love to go to dinner.
I'll be there.
Yeah, like he was just staring,
but like
at
my plans got canceled, I'd be right there.
Right. He's just sitting over there staring. Over there working all that metal.
Come on,
I know they got some real straight swords that day.
They was straight as hell.
He was bending the shit out of that metal. I'm like, nope. So he just sitting there looking at this, his life, his whole plan of romance and love go down the drain,
down.
And he's sulking, and he goes and gets some food from lunch. And everybody can tell that he's still all broken up and shit. He's just sitting there looking at his plate, and then he goes and throws it in the waste, and it's like most of the food is still on it. So
I saw you and him walking in the rain. You were holding hands, and now never be the same.
And so then, after this happens, some tweens that we haven't seen before. Now I actually wonder, remember when those Maggie Hung, Gregory,
mm-hmm,
and two kids came out from around the corner? Mm-hmm. I wonder if those are those kids.
Possibility, because I have no idea. We've had a time jump.
Yeah.
And they've had new people come to the community.
Right. And shout out to the actress that plays Enid getting to probably play her real age.
Right.
Because, you know, they do that thing normally on these shows where they have somebody playing a teenager or something, but in real life they're like 25 or some shit. And I wonder if now, you know, because to me, when Enid kissed Alden, part of me felt like it was a little creepy, because I felt like Alden was too old for her. But the reason I felt that way, I think, is because I believe before they realized Lauren Cohan was going to lead the show, Maggie, I felt like they were trying to ship them.
I think they were too.
And then once her absence became something that was going to happen when she got that other job, I feel like they just kind of transitioned it, which is why I love the time jump, but they transitioned it to, well, let's just have him date somebody else.
Right.
Cause he was way too handsome to not be dating somebody. Like every.
Correct.
And he was like a heart of gold. He just a guy that fell in with the bad bunch, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, with that time jump, you can put her in her early 20s now.
Right. And so, anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting that it happened that, you know, that he was the one tonguing her down and shit. So, the twins see Henry. They invite him up. They introduce themselves. Gage, a guy. Addie, a girl. And Rodney, a guy. And they were like, we saw you down there crying and shit. And he was like, what? I wasn't crying.
We heard
crying.
The music.
I wasn't crying. I was down there eating my food.
See? We hear that.
What? What you talking about?
We hear the music.
I'm happy.
I don't know where the rain's coming from, but we hear it.
This is my happy face.
No.
So they see this nigga crying. They're like, we seen you crying and shit. And, you know, you should hang out with us, you know. And we remember you from when you used to come back here or whatever. And he kind of remembered them a little bit.
They've been here from the bridge, yeah.
And yeah, they said, do you want to come hang out after dark? And he's like, but after dark it's like a curfew and shit. And they was like, nah, we go outside in the woods. And it was like, y'all sneak out?
Right. He's like, y'all actually try to break the rules? Like, ain't this shit dangerous?
Like, that's the opposite of walls.
Right.
But yeah, they was like, yeah, we sneak out and have fun, and you want to hang? And he was like, you know what, yes. Now, he's supposed to have dinner with Earl and Tammy tonight, but I guess he said, fuck them plans.
Right.
I got my heart broke, so I deserve. In the infirmary, Sadiq and Michonne watch over Rosita, and they do such such a TV trope moment here, guys.
They do.
This is cliche TV. Sadiq apologizes to Michonne again, because that's what he do, and Michonne's like, you know, it's just hard because people still upset with me, so showing up here, you know, it was hard with these people looking me in my face with all this attitude. And Sadiq's like, it's not too late to mend those fences. And Michonne's like, I know, but I won't, at least not the way you want me to. Which I think Michonne's like, nigga, I don't feel like I'm wrong, or whatever this altercation was, and I'm not kissing their ass. And she said, I didn't make the choices I made because I thought they'd be easy. At least they're alive so they can hate me for it. I want to know what choice she made. What thing happened? Where the ex come from? I need to know. Rosita wakes up and panics in the middle of this conversation because they were about to tell us what the conflict was. So she said, oh my God, I'm up. And there's,
I'm woke.
Before you explain the plot and the subplot, I'm up. And they were like, Rosita, what's wrong? She's like, we gotta go. Oh no, where's Eugenie still out there? It's like, don't worry, Daryl's out there looking for him, and they probably already on the way back. And she's like, no, they're not ready. They're not ready at all. They don't know what's about to happen. And it's like, oh my God, well, what's gonna happen? I can't, there's no time. Go to commercial.
Right, and she just runs off screen.
Yeah. And then they go to commercial without her explaining anything. TV moment.
It was hilarious.
Like, it really, like, honestly, guys, from what she knows and what we know watching the show, it would have taken an extra 3 seconds to be like, Walkers were fucking talking to each other. Let's go. That's it. She was like, I can't even tell you. It's just too much. We need to take a 20-mile ride all the way out to the wilderness without me explaining anything. Anyway, so she gets up and they cut away. Henry goes out that night and starts getting drunk
and partying
with his white friends,
bad influence,
new kids. And this reminded me so much of just the idea of college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, kids are gonna still be kids in this epoch, and this is their version of, you went off to school and started binge drinking. You know, a lot of kids do that stuff because it's a stressful time in their life, and that's how they cope, is through alcohol and drugs and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, they go out and they're just hanging out, listening to old records and drinking. I'm like, music in the Z-Pop, this is a lot.
Right, and who knows, they didn't say how far out they were, and then they was in the house with the lights on. Make, I was like, anything can happen to y'all out here,
right? Like, damn, kids. So
but that's young people for you, thinking they're invincible,
and they're getting drunk and shit, and
they're getting wasted,
you know, they're playing some games, and then, you know, they're like, all right, last laughs or something, which I think means finish off the moonshine they were drinking, and they're all fucked up. And Henry takes a sip and like almost like falls into a beanbag chair, like, that's what you do for fun, y'all just sit around drinking, like, kind of shitting on the whole thing. And also Henry and Addie, while they were playing whatever game it was, they had like a little quick moment of like getting kind of close to each other, and Rodney came over and kind of interrupted it. And I don't know if Rodney's like her brother or if he's just like interested in her, but I got a vibe that Rodney might be into Addie or something.
I think he is,
or at least he doesn't want her around Henry anyway. Right. So they were like, oh, you want to see what we do for fun. And they take him outside, and they have dug a hole in the ground. They uncover it, and there's a fucking zombie in there.
And Henry was like, well, what the fuck is this? This is not a game.
Yeah, and they've been throwing darts at the zombie. They started doing drunken ring toss on the zombie, trying to get ropes around his neck. I mean, I guess look, maybe it's not social media and TV. Maybe it's us, guys, okay? Maybe the kids are just goddamn stupid. Alright, I thought it was just a function of that damn idiot box, but give them their cell phones back. Okay, all these kids would be better served bullying people on Twitter than fucking around with walkers and throwing ropes on them drunk. Like,
right.
Anything could have happened.
Right, and I think, not trying to funny, you can tell that they've never actually had to interact or fight or anything with zombies. They treated it like almost like a toy. He was like, oh no, we can die, like no, like, this right here ain't, this is not a game,
right? So they're just out there having the time of their life. Just,
yeah, I was like, one of y'all fuck around and tumble in there, it's over.
And we've all seen like episodes where somebody plays with a zombie, and like, this is a cliche of the show, I have to admit that we've seen this 100 times on this show, right? Just the somebody thinks it's a game with these zombies, and either they get bit or a more serious person comes along and kills a zombie because they like, what the fuck are y'all doing? And this was the latter. Henry like jumps in the pit drunkenly, fucking kills a zombie, and like, I'm sorry, and it kills a zombie because he's like, what the fuck are y'all doing playing with this shit, you know? And he pushed Rodney down before he jumped in the pit, and then Gage is like, what'd you do that for, asshole? And then Henry's like, if I had to explain to you, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, like, I done been through some shit.
Well, just also, I think Henry has some honor about him. It's like, why are y'all desecrating this? This used to be somebody.
Right.
And now those kids did say they've lived in those walls most of their lives. Right. And they thought he was lucky to move to a new community. So they're kind of, I can get how they would have some issues with like risking and thrill seeking because they haven't seen any real shit.
He was like, look, my stepmama had to come find my ass in the goddamn woods. No, thank you. I'm good.
Right. So, everybody leaves him in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
some friendship that turned out to be.
Right. And then Tara had, and by the way, that's such a like, that was like a moment from Fear the Walking Dead type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The kids being kids moment. I kind of enjoyed it, but still, it was, I hate that zombie trope of like, stop playing with the zombie. So then Tara has put Henry in jail when we come back, and he's in the jail cell that Earl used to be in, and she takes Earl to see him, like, maybe you can talk some sense into his dumb ass. He threw up on my boots and he threw up on a pig, and you know I love them boots. And Earl is like, I'm disappointed in you, Henry. And Henry's all like, hey man, I was out drinking with some people. I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, I thought you said you were too tired. You gonna stay in tonight. You lying ass liar. And then, Henry's like, and he's like, and who gave you the booze? Who snuck out with you? And Henry won't snitch. He said, I ain't no Tekashi 6ix9ine. You gonna have to put me under the jail.
He gets nothing, tapas.
Nothing. And so he said, all right, well then you obviously not taking this serious. Take your scrawny ass back to the kingdom. He called him scrawny. That was hilarious. Love me a good scrawny. He was like, take your scrawny ass back to kingdom. And then Henry was like, no, please, I got people depending on me. I messed up. I know I did. And Earl's like, what got into you? And then Henry says, like, you know, I never seen my mama cry until today, and it fucked me up real bad. And I realized how huge a deal it was for me to be away from kingdom. And, you know, I went out and got drunk so I wouldn't have to feel anything. And I was like, that is college drinking in a fucking nutshell for a lot of people.
It is. You're scared. You don't know what's happening. Experiencing things for the first time. Right. It can be a lot.
Like, we cover it up and call it a bunch of other stuff, but college binge drinking for young people, I really do think is self-medication.
It is.
For the fact that you're going through so much change, and it's just very scary. You know, and I think that's what this version of it was in the Z-Pac. And honestly, I was here for it. I really was like, that makes perfect fucking sense. They didn't take forever to tell that story. Mm-hmm. It's just 5-10 minutes in this whole episode. And I was totally okay with that. Cause that, you know, that's something that I think definitely would happen. And the added pressure of being in the Z-Pac would even make it even more difficult.
Yeah, then you're away from home, and I think he understood Henry. And he was like, oh, I completely understand.
Right. So then Earl says, well, I've been there. I've been exactly where you are. No, I mean exactly. Like, that's my cot. Yeah. I peed on that sheet a little bit. You standing
right
in my... Yeah, that right there. That's where I used to jack off. And so he says, well, the minimum sentence for disorderly conduct, drunken disorderly, is 2 days in the cell. I'll talk to Jesus when he gets back, and when you get out, make sure you get your rest because you're gonna have a lot of work to do.
But at least they got rules now,
right? And I wonder if those are some rules that Michonne came up with all those years ago and they still use them there.
I guarantee you,
even though Michonne sounds like we're not trying to work together.
Mm-hmm. It can help keep order.
Yeah, so he left him. He said, "Well, no, I'll holler at you when Jesus gets back. I'm gonna go to Jesus with it, and then we will figure something out." All right, last segment: finding Eugene, saving Private Eugene. finding Eugene, just keep swimming. So Jesus, Daryl, and Aaron are watching a herd of walkers that is just standing around, not moving in any particular direction.
Actually going around in circles.
Yeah, and you know, they're all like, you seen them do that before? And they're like, nah. Jesus is like, it's about 130 of them. And they're like, yeah, that's weird, but they don't appear to be moving, and they are directly in the path that Rosita came from. So they're like, we're gonna have to go around them and then pick up on the path somewhere else.
Oh, probably because they've been still probably looking for her.
Right. Those zombies are, they're like, it's just very coincidental that they're there. So Daryl then says we can go around them, and they will track the path back to Eugene. We come back, and Jesus are having a conversation, walking way behind Daryl on the path to get Eugene, and they have a conversation about basically being loners versus being leaders, and Aaron's trying to encourage Jesus to stop being a loner and to be the leader that Hilltop needs.
Right.
And he says, he basically uses Daryl as an example, like, look at Daryl, he's such a loner, but his power is finding people, and so he needs to be with us because and stop fighting it and accept that that's his role, because he's saving so many people. And same thing with you, Jesus, you need to accept that your role is to be a leader. You're not a loner. You can't hang out outside the walls by yourself. You need to step up to the mantle and lead. Which is a cool, you know, interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jesus is so flighty that who knows if it got through. So then Aaron brings up I said that part. So then they realize that the herd that was mingling around in the circle, they feel like they're like, it's following us.
Right.
Daryl's like, I can hear the noise on the wind is carrying them. They're still behind us.
Yeah, I can hear that. Right. That's something I never realized, but that would make sense with them growling. If you got quiet enough, you probably could hear them from afar, especially a group that big.
Well, and also because Daryl's like a super tracker and shit.
Right.
And so Daryl's like, we got to get them off our tracks, and you know, because we're gonna end up having to fight them if this happens. So he takes an alarm clock, an old school alarm clock, sets it for however long, and then throws it in like the grass in a different direction, hoping that the alarm clock will go off and then the walkers will start heading towards that alarm clock. Ingenious. I'm surprised we don't see more shit like this. I mean, I guess it's hard to find those clocks, but you know, stuff like this seems like a no-brainer in his epoch. Like, everybody would carry this kind of shit on them.
Mm-hmm.
So then he throws that clock and they go the other way. They notice that the herd later is now twice the size they saw earlier.
Twice.
And they think it might be a different herd, or maybe it merged, but they're not sure. But they decide, well, we'll just keep moving. They're just zombies. We'll stay ahead of them. They're just crawling. And it's now nighttime. We come back, and a storm, they said at the beginning, like, a storm is brewing. Well, the storm was here. And this shit was like a TV horror movie type storm. This is one of those scary ass storms where, like, if you were driving a car, you pulled to the side of the road, like, fuck it.
I'm not driving in this.
Yeah. Like, it's not that it was raining so hard, but it was foggy and it was dark.
Right. You was like, nope, I don't want to hit nobody. I don't want nobody hitting me.
And there's lightning in the air. Like, it definitely looked cool. Man, I think that's where they were going with it. They was like, how do we get a storm that just looks fucking cool? We want to set up this scene, you know, this vision. And they did it. So then they get to the barn where Eugene is in this dark ass storm. And they're like, you know, Daryl's like, dog, go find him. And dog goes and goes to like a pile of hay.
That's hilarious. You just name him dog.
Yeah. A dog goes to a pile of hay and it's like sniffing out Eugene. And so they knock on the, you know, they like go over there. Eugene, you there? And then Eugene, of course, is hidden in like a bunker like Saddam Hussein and shit.
Right.
And looking dusty as fuck. Like, that motherfucker look like, I don't know what was in there before he got in there, but, or if he just came in there that dirty. but that motherfucker looked so too through, like a fucking sheet. So yeah, they see him down there in the basement, and of course they have to let him
know. We heard about you before you even got up here. While you have a chance, you need to be trying to get an education, because your looks ain't gonna get you paid. Because you're not that cute, and your hair is uneven, you look dusty. So I'm saying, what else are you gonna do besides pander, rob, steal, trying to trick some girl up out of her baby's chair or something?
So then they get him out of there, and Eugene is like, they're like, all right, man, so what happened? He's like, man, I dislocated my knee, you know, I stepped wrong, and now, you know, I had to go in here to hide, and Rosita left me, and I told her to just go without me. And they're like, all right, well, cool, let's just pop it back into place, walk it off. And I said, what about Eugene says pop my knee back into place and walk it off?
Right, he ain't that type of person.
But Eugene's also like, man, we can't do that shit because we really ain't got no time.
Yeah,
like,
and me hollering will not help.
And he's like, these walkers are following me, they know and I'm around here, y'all. And well, he didn't say they following y'all, but he said, oh, they're following me, they know I'm around here, I heard them talking. And he gives them the whole thing, and they basically like egged it on some, like, oh, this nigga must just need some water, he dehydrated.
Right. And he said that they have, him and Rosita have ran like through the area like two or three times, like, and they just felt like they were running around in circles.
Yeah, like, I know people probably been questioning, like, well, how the fuck do zombies out, like, make you tired and outrun you and da da da? My guess would be you trying to do your typical tricks not working might tire you out.
Right.
Like, oh, we'll just double back here and then they there. Or we'll make this left and then they, a couple minutes later, here they come. Like, mm-hmm. You never get a chance to rest. And you've been basically fighting against, you know, grade A level zombies. You know, like the lowest level zombies all this Z-Pock.
Right.
And now suddenly, you know, the zombies are fucking, you know, sentient.
Right. And you didn't play this and you didn't plan on that.
Right. So they end up basically being like, well, you talking crazy, but whatever, let's just go, you know, like, what are we gonna do? And we haven't heard any zombies whispering to themselves the entire episode.
Mm-mm.
So nobody believes them. They still just go carry him and let's go, because they hear walkers outside the damn barn right when they came in. So it's like, it's a hell of a coincidence now that this herd, and they like, oh, is that the same herd? And they're like, I don't think so. Cause, you know, you recognize herds not really by like what zombies look like, just by, you know, how many they are and stuff. But now might be a time for them to develop a system where you go, this herd got a dude with a yellow shirt in it. I don't know. So, they run out the back, and the walkers are still following them through the woods and everything. And mm-hmm. They reach a fork in the road, and Eugene is like, I got a theory. The walkers are evolving. And they're like, what, nigga? They ain't evolving. And he's like, think about it. The brains still work after all this time. The synapses get to fire. They are very ambulatory. And da, 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 you know, all his, you know, he was sciencing it up.
And somebody was like, well, shit, before the zombie apocalypse, nobody would have ever thought fucking zombies was real.
Right, that's what Jesus said. And I said, that's a good fucking point, Jesus. Don't get bit and then figure it out. Like, let's figure it out now. Be like, maybe it's a good hypothesis. Nobody else got a fucking clue. And so, Jesus like, well, all right, I'll distract them, y'all take, because we have numbers. Because Daryl's like, just leave me, Eugene's like, just leave me behind, you know, trying to sacrifice himself again. And they're like, nope, we're gonna make it, we didn't come out this way for nothing,
right?
One of us will distract them, the other two carry you off, and that'll be how we get away.
And Jesus thought he was really gonna volunteer. That was like, yeah, you over a whole group. No,
yeah, you a leader, man, go your ass back to lead. And so he's like, I'll do it or whatever. And then Daryl's like, no, I'll do it. And him and Dog go and set this like elaborate, like, not, it's not a trap, but distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he gets on top of a, like a, container type of thing, and he has the dog. I don't remember if he had his motorcycle or not, but he has the dog, and he has some fireworks that draw, like, you know, noise and stuff to make the zombies come towards him. So when he sees the zombies, he starts the dog to barking. He sets off the fucking fireworks. The zombies start turning towards him, and then another group of zombies kind of jump in front of the zombies and lead the whole pack back on the course of Aaron and Jesus and Eugene.
And that's abnormal.
And, you know, Daryl's like, oh, calm down, boy. You know, they stop barking. And it's like, damn, like, what the fuck is happening? They done avoided the alarm clock. They done avoided.
They walked right over it.
Yeah, like, they done avoided my distraction. What is happening with our crew? So then, in a foggy graveyard that looked like, I think Reagan Gomez on Twitter said it looked like the video for Thriller.
It does.
It did. I was like, oh my God. All we needed was Vincent Price.
Come on.
So, it was just like this really creepy vibe to this foggy, dark graveyard. And it's like a dilapidated graveyard. And they like do a bunch of zombie shenanigans. Like, let's go through this little hallway and they can't get down here. Let's go through this fence. Let's do this. We can't get Eugene through the fence. The fence is stuck. And they got this zombie gate with dirt stuck at the bottom. So they really don't have a way to get the dirt out of the way, which is like, y'all should have brought Eugene's shovel as a cane. But anyway, they end up like being like, we're going to have to fight the zombies. So when they get ready to do that, that's when Michonne and the ASL crew show up. And Michonne didn't even know the ASL crew was coming. She went by herself, I guess with Rosita, or whatever. And, who was in there? Oh, Sadiq maybe. And, she's like, what y'all doing here? And Magna's like, we came here to help. And I'm like, they found a moment, they trustworthy moment. And, you know, which is interesting because I think that's going to spark a debate about are they the feds or not? You know, cause that's how people do. Like, did they know that those walkers could talk and was coming, and did a setup? I do think that will become a thing. I mean me and you aren't thinking like that, but I bet you there's got to be either some listeners or other groups and other people that talk about this show that have to be thinking like, are these walkers now, like, is this all a big plot, the new group and the walkers showing that talk showing up at the same time? I don't know. Never crossed your mind, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yep, that's what I do. So then, Jesus is like, y'all get behind the fence because Michonne and the ASL crew open up the fence and they take Eugene and they're like, come on, let's go. And Jesus is like, just let me finish off these walkers real quick so I can show out in front of my homie Aaron. Like, check out this dog. Slow the hell. And he starts doing like mad karate skills on these fucking walkers, like slow-mo Matrix level, like kung foolery on these walkers. And after he gets done with his montage, there's like two more left, and he kills one and he walks by the other one and tries to kill it, and it fucking ducks.
It hit that right bumper.
I was not ready for that shit to hit the L2 button.
Me either.
That shit, and neither was Jesus, apparently.
Nope.
That shit ducked, swim moved, and fucking stabbed him in his motherfucking back. And Jesus' face was all our face, which was what the fuck was just happening. And he said, and the walker whispered to him, you are where you do not belong. And I was like, nigga! And then I was like, well, he lucky it wasn't all black people in that group with him, because boy, we would have broke the fuck out. It was like, I don't know what happened to Jesus. I don't know. I know that nigga got me. Ain't nothing wrong with my leg. Like, I would have pulled a motherfucking Shane on Eugene and shot him in his good leg. Y'all remember when Shane did that to Otis?
Yes.
I was like, pow. Oh, too bad. They ain't gonna get us both. And then I'll tell your family you loved them. So yeah, they, like, the rest of the crew comes out, they start fighting our walkers, and the walkers now, some of them are running and they have knives
out of nowhere. It's like all of a sudden they broke out from the rest of the zombies and like became like the knife crew,
right? These niggas turn into the motherfucking The Hand and shit, just knives and shit. And so now it's like more of a fight, but the element of surprise is no longer on the walker's side, obviously, because everybody saw what they did to Jesus. So they killed all these walkers, and then they're like, what the fuck is going on? And Michonne asked Daryl, she's like, what what is this? Who are these people? And Daryl inspects one of the zombies, and Aaron, of course, is mourning over Jesus. I really wonder if something's up with, like, if they were more than just friends.
I told you, they weren't hanging out in the woods for nothing.
Right, right. And Aaron's like, I ain't grow this beard to lose another boo.
Hey, right.
So then he's mourning Jesus, and Daryl finds stitches in the walker's head and pops them and reveals that it's actually not a walker. It's a mask over a human being. And I mean, I don't know, these motherfuckers went to like Hollywood makeup artistry school because they look just like walkers. But it's a mask for a person with a person, and a person actual like face and shit is underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that the person was Old Man Jenkins.
Right.
And he would have got away with it if it wasn't for Daryl and that dog and those kids. But that would have been funny if he would have put off the mask and been like, Old Man Jenkins. And so yeah, I mean they stabbed Jesus. He was laying there. I assume he is gonna get put in a cave for 3 days and come back. I mean, that's kind of how that works from my understanding when a Jesus dies.
Not just
so, are y'all saying it's not true?
Mm-mm. This one dead and gone. This one ain't coming back.
So you think Jesus dead? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope he's alive. I don't think he's dead, Karen. I don't see any evidence to show that he's what evidence do you have that he's actually dead? I mean, do you, from the show, do you believe he's dead? Because they could be pulling a fast one like they did with Glenn.
When they were showing the previews, mm-hmm. At the very, very end, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, they show a body kind of on a horse, like his midsection on the back of a horse. So I figured out that was Jesus.
Mm-mm, I think he alive. You can't tell me my Jesus ain't alive.
Jesus gone.
Racism. Most of all,
we at war with ourselves.
God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me.
Come on, Paul. Come back to us, Paul. Y'all know what the Z-Pac is, young and heartless. And next, these zombies. And next, these walkers. But yeah, that, that is sad. He died. Mm-hmm. And then you hear more whispers in the foggy ass storm, dark in the graveyard, going, they're trapped. And that's where the fucking episode ends. It's like, what?
Yeah, because while they was fucking around, they actually probably went around on the other side.
That was actually a great ending for me. Like, that was one of their better endings of an episode, of a season, whatever, mm-hmm. halfway point in a while. That joint was, because it's funny reading the comic books, we kind of knew what the whisperers were.
Mm-hmm.
But fucking seeing it put me in a whole different zone than reading about it.
Correct.
Because that shit scared the fuck out of me when he dodged that. I said, oh, how you ever supposed to kill any walkers again? It's gunshots from here on out.
Right, because you don't know who's who.
I'm running my car through these motherfuckers from now on. Like, a fucking walker fuck around and bob and weave on my ass? That changes the entire Z-Pop.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Mm-mm. I'm not with the shits. Not a fan of the shits, okay? Oh, my God. That motherfucking, that walker who did that shit, I would have been like, time out, everybody.
Stop it right now. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous. Get out of here. We are adults, and this is ridiculous. Hit the crap.
Not a fan. All right, let's get to your feedback before we get out of here. Of course, your feedback is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Bevel is a shaving system that is the first and only one designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin, aka black people. But you know, anyone with coarse hair and sensitive skin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first end-to-end shaving system designed for us. Dermatologists recommended, clinically tested to help reduce and prevent razor bumps, discoloration, irritation as well. Over 90% of Bevel users noticed improvement in their skin and razor bumps reduction. I know I did, and it doesn't irritate my skin or make it like flare up or itch or anything afterwards. Like, I put it on, within minutes it feels kind of tingly and warm and good, and then boom, I'm not feeling anything. They also have a trimmer. The Bevel trimmer is a GQ award winner and barber go-to product. Now you can hold one yourself and purchase one for a friend. Experience 4+ hours of cordless grooming. Oh, cordless grooming. Oh, you done took it to the next level. Easy gap adjustments and next level lineups. Each clipper includes a blade oil, microfiber bag, brush, and charger. So yeah, make sure y'all get that joint, cause, that joint gives me clipper envy. Okay.
Right.
See if they can get me to mail me one of them. So make sure you guys go and get the Bevel trimmer or shave system today at getbevel.com/TBGWT and get 20% off of your next shipment. That's getbevel.com/TBGWT. All right, let's get into y'all's feedback. Hi, Rod and Karen. First time writing in, this question is about last week's show, because niggas are always late. Just a quick question. Do y'all think Daryl is setting traps for the walkers because he is still hoping to find Rick? Thanks for all that you two do. At love by Verdi. Ooh, that is a great point, Verdi. Yeah, he could be setting the traps, because maybe if it's a walker Rick, he'll catch him. And then he'll be like, okay, I got closure. He's dead. He turned into a walker.
Okay, because they figure out that he got his body, he has to be around us somewhere.
Yeah, that's a great point. Didn't think of it.
Mm-mm.
Derica says, hey y'all, I really enjoyed this mid-season finale, the whole episode, but I gotta skip to the end 5 seconds before Jesus got killed. Okay. I was like, I'm gonna be mad if Jesus dies. But then that walker, quote unquote, duck stabs him and whispers some cold shit. I wasn't even mad, cause I was too busy freaking out. Me too. As soon as they say the storm's coming at the beginning of this episode, I tweeted out, somebody gonna die tonight. I was like, this don't feel good. It caught me so off guard, but it was so good. Whisperers take it way further than Michonne walking around with walkers. Skinning a walker's whole head and wearing it Texas Chainsaw Massacre style, that's just crazy. I'm terrified of what they mean for every, what that means for everybody. Woo child, other thoughts.
My hypothesis, I think that this eventually will bring it, like, it's not gonna have a choice but to bring everybody back together.
That's a good point. It gotta, or maybe for Michonne, she'll be like, and this why the fuck we need to stop hanging out. If y'all niggas wouldn't have been on the road to Hilltop, y'all be alive. I don't know. Other thoughts. Michonne's hairstyle itself is cute. Execution is just terrible. Yes, it's Z-Pac, but come on. Yes, you need to holler at Alden's, shape up guy.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene, being old Eugene level scared about them talking walkers, was the first time I approved of his fear. He was. I felt the vibes between Jesus and Aaron too. So sad Aaron lost another bae. Those ninja skills will be missed. The whisperers thoroughly terrified me. I have too many questions. Can't wait for y'all's thoughts. Long live the blackout tips. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I saw an interview with the dude who plays Jesus, and he was kind of like mad that he felt the character was underutilized in the show. And because in the comic, he got all these fucking like ninja kung fu skills. And yeah, it doesn't translate to the show, in my opinion. Lastly, EVE says, hi, Rod and Karen. I'm not sure how I feel about people treating Michonne like she was the one who burned down their community. Clearly something happened and the communities are no longer close, but they're acting like a bunch of strangers. What the hell happened? And the way Tara was mean mugging Michonne like she couldn't catch those samurai hands had me heated. I am not here for the Michonne looking like the bad guy storyline. Yeah, I want to see what happened. What decision did she have to make? Because I bet you it's going to be some shit that make us all be like, fuck these motherfuckers, Michonne was right. You have to be all kinds of crazy to wear dead people's skin. I bet those whisperers are funky as hell. Ugh, yes. Yes. I'm surprised the disease and bacteria haven't done them in. Yeah, they got to be on some survival of the fittest shit. Like, you know some motherfuckers that caught gangrene from them zombies. Well, they say Jesus saves, and I suppose that's true. Too bad he saved everyone but himself. Bye, nigga. Jesus was whack. The writers did his character so dirty, so I wasn't sad to see him go. Well, until February, thanks for the recap. Thank you for listening. and we will be back for Black History Month, okay, and Walking Dead. So we appreciate y'all for checking us out, listening to us live. For those wondering about the premium things, me and Bossy tomorrow will be doing our This Too Much in the morning at 10 a.m. Get your feedback in if you're listening to this. Friday, me and Justin will be doing Balls Deep in the pregame Friday morning. So there you guys go. Until next time, I love you.
Love you too.
Mwah.